we doing today? I got drenched. I was in Valley Station at work, and on my way, like literally, I clocked out, and then it dropped. So I was like, I tried to wait it out a few minutes, but anyway. So I've got my hot waters on today. Anyway, so we're going to continue talking about the fruit of the spirits tonight, and I'm going to just kind of read through some verses real quick, just to kind of refresh us of where we are, and then we'll pray and get started. So Galatians 5, verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And we'll pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. We thank you for giving us this day, and we thank you for everything you give us each day. And we just pray that we would hear what you have for us tonight, and that we would learn more about you and take away something that we can apply to our lives. In your name, amen. So the spirit we're going to talk about tonight is gentleness. And as I read through sort of some commentaries and things, the commentary in my Bible actually really laid it out really well. And it says gentleness, better translated meekness, which the King James translates it that way. "It is a humble and gentle attitude that is patiently submissive in every offense, while having no desire for revenge or retribution. In the New Testament, it is used to describe three attitudes: submission to the will of God, teachability, and consideration of others." So as I read through that, I wanted to kind of look at those three attitudes that meekness sort of gives us. And particularly that part that said, in every offense, while having no desire for revenge or retribution. And that first little thing that it talks about, the submission to the will of God. I was reading through that Monday, and Elizabeth Elliot passed Monday. She was, her husband was Jim Elliot. He was a missionary to Ecuador in the 50s. And he went together, and he sought out an totally unreached people group. And they spent some time, him and four other missionaries, spending time trying to connect with this group. And they finally connected with a couple of the people in this tribe. And they sort of built a little bit of a relationship. And the people in this tribe said, "Okay, we'll meet you here on this beach on this day and time." And so they did. And when Jim Elliot and his compatriots went there on that beach that morning, the tribesmen came and they killed all five of them right there on the beach. And it really struck me where it talks about not seeking revenge or retribution and submitting to the will of God. Elizabeth Elliot, a few years after that happened, after her husband died, after being married for 3 years, she went and moved to Ecuador as well and sought out that same tribe that had killed her husband and ministered to them. And now that is officially a reached people group. They're a number of people that know Christ there in that village and from that tribe. And the meekness that was submitting to the will of God for her, just with her death Monday being on my mind and then sort of studying, it really struck me that for her, that required a certain biblical meekness, that for her to say, "You know what? My husband was killed by these people. I could hate them. I could wish bad things for them. But God's will for my life is to teach these people about Christ, despite the fact that they killed my husband." And there's a certain meekness and a gentleness of heart that just really, I think, shows Jesus to us about submitting to the will of God. And sort of in the same way, that Jesus was facing the same issue. He's about to die. It's the night before he's going to be arrested. And he's standing in the garden, and we all know what he says there in Matthew 26:42. If it's possible, take this cup from me. And that cup was death, the same as Jim Elliot. But he said, your will be done. And again, Jesus demonstrated a meekness in his heart of, it would be easy for him to walk away. I mean, when the Roman guards came for him, he knocked them all on the ground just to let them know, you're not taking me. I'm going. And he had the ability in his hands to not go, but that gentleness and that meekness that flourishes in humility, he knew that he had to submit to God's will for him, no matter what it was, in order to see God's will be done, despite having the power to do otherwise. And a quote that resonated with me from Oswald Chambers about submitting to the will of God was, he will do with you what he never did before his call came to you, and he will do with you what he is not doing with other people. Let him have his way. And I think that just really speaks a lot to the gentleness that God calls us to in Galatians, that says, you know what, this is new to me. What God's asking me to do is new. When Jamie and I moved to Louisville, that was new for us. For 10 years, I'd wanted to be a songwriter. I lived in Nashville my whole life, and God called us to Louisville, and that was new. That was something different in our life. But when that call came on our lives, we knew we had to do it. And so that quote just exemplifies to me what is that meekness. So the next point that John MacArthur makes in the commentary, he is to also have a teachable spirit. Anyone that's been around kids very much knows that they just have questions. It doesn't matter, you know, why is this, why that, what is this, what is that? And it strikes me that Jesus tells us to be like children with our faith. And I can't help but think, if a teachable spirit is a part of a biblical meekness, maybe why he wants us to be like children with our faith is because they're just thirsty for knowledge. They just want to know. They're humble about it. It's not about, because I can be puffed up with my knowledge of why the grass is green and the sky is blue. It's just, I want to know things. There are things in the world I don't know, and I want to know it. And the other thing that, so he tells us to be like children. And then also Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, he says, let me find it here. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I think I'm reading the wrong scripture. So, the scripture I'm looking for, I've lost it. To submit yourself to the elders, to be subject to one another in humility. And so we want to submit ourselves to have a teachable spirit in humility, and that humility is where our meekness flourishes. We can go to people that may be older, maybe younger. For me, it's really hard. I'm 29 years old, and most of my teachers that have their masters and work on their doctorates are between 28 and in their early 30s. And so it's really hard to sometimes for me to be humble and say, you know, these guys, they're my age, but they've done their time. They know more than I do, and so I need to not be puffed up about it. I need to just humble myself as hard as it can be and learn from them. It's not easy, but I think that's what God calls us to do. And this gentleness of spirit that it talks about in Galatians is a part of that. And then the third thing is consideration for others. And it goes back to what we talked about a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't here last week. Seth may have touched on these sort of things, but just being kind to one another and considering ourselves less than others that it talks about in Philippians is again, a gentleness of spirit. It would be really easy to sort of feel like, you know, we have something we're the priority. You know, it would be easy for me on my way to work to here, think I got to get there at 6:15. I'm in a hurry. I'm drenched. I wish these people would get out of my way, but they're just trying to keep themselves safe. And I need to, they're helping me keep myself safe. And so a humility that considers others over yourself is what we're called to, and that's found all throughout Scripture, and but especially here in Ephesians 4. Let me find it. I apologize. I'm running a little late. I wasn't able to really set my Bible up the way I wanted to. So Paul says in 4 verses 1 through 3, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." So here he's talking to those of us that are all a part of the body of Christ. Not only should we be kind to people that aren't believers because of the evangelistic things that that brings to the table, but also as one another, to maintain that unity, we have to consider ourselves less than others. And that's what Paul's calling us to here in Ephesians. And the thing that really stood out to me as I studied these three things was it seems like there's almost a circular cause and effect. So we submit ourselves to God's will, and that requires a bit of a teachable spirit. We have to be able to sit back and let God teach us what he wants to teach us and show us what he wants to show us. And also, we have to do the same with others, which requires us to be considerate of others, to give them more than we give ourselves, and it's this whole, which is then God's will. So it's this circle. We follow God's will, allows us to be teachable, allows us to consider others greater than ourselves, which allows us to follow God's will. So it's this circle of things, but I think it stems from being mindful of the submission to God's will that this meekness flourishes in. It's easy to think, well, this is what I want for my life, and I have these dreams, but that's not necessarily what God has for us. And as I said earlier, that's sort of what I found to be true for me. I had dreams of playing music in a more quote-unquote secular way, of writing sort of country songs and being, you know, being able to support my family with that, and that wasn't what God had for me. And what we had to do in order to submit to his will in that way was to say we could be wrong about what we thought our life was going to be. We could be totally mistaken. We could be seeing these gifts that he's given us as one thing, that he wants us to do this thing with it, when really he wants us to do this other thing. And like for Jamie and I mean, Jamie, very gifted with music, and I'm kind of learning as I go a little bit, not quite as naturally gifted as she is, but it would have been easy for her to pursue other things with music, to try to, you know, be on the radio and make a lot of money and acclaim for herself. But she understood that God's will for her life was to worship him and lead others to worship him. And that took a meekness and a gentleness of spirit for her to be okay with that. And what we have to do is we have to understand that the meekness calls us to not want our way. There's that gentleness that says, you know, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to let God show me his way. And then from there, we'll see where he has us. And I'll kind of close with this quote from Elizabeth Elliot. And she said, "I realized that the deepest spiritual lessons are not learned by letting us have our way in the end, but by his making us wait, bearing with us in love and patience until we are able to honestly pray what he taught his disciples to pray, 'Thy will be done.'" And that, to me, is what is meant when it says the meek shall inherit the earth. When we're gentle and we're willing to step back and accept God's will for our lives, we're going to flourish. And it maybe won't flourish in the way that we think about that, with money and acclaim and all the, you know, the nice car and the nice house we want, but true flourishing, which of course we all know, for those of us that believe, flourishing is a home with him in paradise and in eternity. And so does anyone have any thoughts, any questions about any of that? If not, I will turn it over to Ken. He's going to lead us in our time of prayer.